Chapter 4 I watched with pure glee as the blonde woman took a few steps forward, grabbed my cock with her left hand, and then began to stroke it gently. A wave of ecstasy shot through my body as my balls tightened, and I arched my back, but Valea's right hand pushed me right back down onto the table. "Oh, fuck," I moaned as she jerked me off. "You're really good with your hands."
"Just wait till I use the other parts of my body."
Valea purred, and my dick grew 3 times harder than it already was. The beautiful blonde woman tightened her grip as she felt me grow harder in her hands, and then she began to run her slender fingers along my abs. Valea leaned over and kissed each of the abs on my six-pack one by one, before her mouth drifted up to my pecs and then to my neck. She nuzzled against my neck as she stroked me softly, and I was in pure euphoria. When Valea's lips finally touched mine, I thought my entire being was about to be launched into orbit. The two of us made out passionately as she touched me, and I soon let my hands wander up to the clasp of her armor. I unfastened the strings from around her neck, popped the breastplate free of Valea's body, and then basked in all her glory. Valea's breasts were large and full, with a perfectly circular, pale nipple on each one. The woman's tender nubs were erect with excitement as they greeted me, so I gave them a little pinch as I continued to explore her mouth with my tongue. Valea's kiss was as sweet as sugar, and for a split second I thought I could continue like this forever. However, as much as I enjoyed Valea's kiss, I realized there were other parts of her that needed just as much attention, and I was going to give this goddess all the attention she deserved. "I want to taste you," I growled when Valea finally pulled away. "Your kiss is so sweet, I can only imagine what's in store down between your legs."
"Then you'll just have to find out."
The hedgehog woman winked before she stepped back and slid her thumbs into her waistband. Valea shimmied her hips as she removed the armor on her lower half, and my cock throbbed with anticipation when I saw the tender slit between her legs. Valea's pussy was visibly wet with arousal and completely shaved clean. I could see clearly the dribbles of love juice that oozed from inside of her, as well as the swollen clitoris atop her slit, and everything in between. Nothing could have possibly prepared me for what came next, though. I went to sit up, but Valea's hand shoved me back down. She then moved so her hips were beside my head, raised her right leg up, and placed it down on the table next to my temple. Valea hoisted herself up onto the table and positioned her womanhood above my face, and then she lowered down onto me. The second Valea was in position, my tongue got to work. I reached around and grabbed her tight ass as I licked her clitoris like a lizard, every which way possible. I dragged my tongue across her horizontally, vertically, in a circular pattern, and every other geometrical pattern I could think of. Valea's legs tightened around my head as she let out a long, guttural groan and froze in place. My lover's sounds of passion only made me hornier, so I increased the pace of my tongue. I stopped every now and again to give her inner thighs some attention, and soon Valea's moans became more sporadic and closer together. The hedgehog woman's pussy was as sweet as honey, and I couldn't get enough of her trembling womanhood as I lapped up her sweet juices. Or so I thought, but as I continued to pleasure Valea, I felt her right hand reach down and cup my balls. The next thing I knew, Valea's soft, wet lips wrapped around my cock. Her tongue swirled around my shaft, and she bobbed her head up and down and gave my balls a gentle squeeze. The warm coil in my stomach started to tighten as we pleasured each other, and I knew I couldn't last for very much longer like this. Still, I wasn't worried. I knew that even if I exploded into her mouth right here and now, I could easily get it back up. Valea may not have known it yet, but we were definitely going more than one round. The sweet, warm juices of the spindrel woman dribbled down my chin as my tongue went into overdrive, all while she deep-throated my cock intensely. That's when Valea stopped, took a deep breath, and then shoved her head as far down as it could possibly go. My balls tightened so fast they were practically up in my body, and I felt the head of my dick touch the back of Valea's throat.
"Oh, fucking hell, your throat is so damn tight. Oh, I think I'm going to explode if you keep doing that."
Valea said nothing. Instead, the woman pressed her hips downward and forced my face up against her pussy harder, and I responded with rapid tongue motions as I slapped her ass with a firm smack. Valeya froze as she let out a long, soft moan. Then, when she realized I wasn't going to let up, her body began to tremble like a leaf in the wind. Valeya's moans grew closer and closer together until they eventually turned into silence. But that didn't last very long. The blonde woman groaned as she ground against my face, all with my cock still in her throat. The sounds of her carnal pleasure, mixed with the sensation of her hand against my balls, and her throat wrapped tightly around my cock, sent me over the edge. "Oh, fuck!" I growled as the coil in my abdomen snapped. I saw stars as my dick unleashed a geyser of cum straight down into the hedgehog woman's throat. Valeya let out a gasp of surprise as her mouth was filled with my seed. But it only took a split second for that gasp to turn into a satisfied sound. The hedgehog woman's throat seemed to grip me firmly as I pulsated shot after shot of sperm into her, and she just swallowed it as it came. Finally, once my balls were drained and my orgasm was done, Valeya let my dick slide out from her lips.
"There,"
Valeya said, as she looked back over her shoulder and gave me a wink.
"Now that that thing is taken care of, we can get back to the relaxation rub."
The blonde woman lifted her pussy away from my face and then rolled off the table. As she tried to keep her wobbly legs from giving out, I sat up and shot her a hungry glare. "But it's not taken care of yet. Not by a long shot. Get back over here." I quickly moved my legs over the side of the table, sprang up, and grabbed Valeya around the shoulders. She let out a gasp as I swept her off her feet and laid her back on the massage table. And then she cooed with excitement when she realized what I was doing.
How? We're both done.
Oh, this poor girl. Apparently she never experienced the joy of multiple orgasms. I was about to change that. "Oh, I am far from done," I murmured as I leaned over her delicate, curvy body and gave her ear a soft nibble. Valeya responded with a soft purr, so I continued on down her body. I nibbled her neck as I cupped her supple breasts in one hand and caressed her silky smooth side with my other. Eventually, my mouth got down to her pale nipples, so I took the time to give each of them some attention with my tongue. I licked around them in a circular pattern before I gave them a soft suck and an even softer bite.
"Ben,"
Valeya cooed as she ran her hands through my hair.
"I've never met somebody who could use their mouth like that."
"You haven't seen anything yet. The best part is still coming, which will hopefully get both of us coming again." Valeya smiled at me as her dark brown pools lit up with excitement. My cock had been slowly throbbing back to life as I teased the hedgehog woman with my mouth, but now it was just about at full mast. I could feel the cold pre-cum oozing out from my tip, and my balls were tensing up with anticipation of what was to come. I pushed the head of my dick up against Valeya's labia, but I didn't enter her quite yet. Instead, I let her wetness drip down me as I continued to suck on her nipples and run my hands along her body.
"Stop teasing me, Draco Rex!"
Valeya was now practically begging.
"I want you to split me in half."
"Ask and you shall receive." I slowly thrust my hips forward, and my erection slid into the spindrel woman's pussy like a hand into a glove. Valeya was so wet it took next to no effort for me to glide into her, yet she was somehow still tighter than a pair of fucking skinny jeans. Her womanhood spasmed around me as I pushed further and further inside of her, until I felt the head of my cock touch her cervix. Oh, how does that feel?" I moaned as I gave my hips a final thrust and bottomed out.
"Like it's gonna poke through my brain?"
Valeya gasped as she ran her hands through her undercut.
"You're so damn long and thick."
"Oh, and you're so damn tight,"
I growled as I grabbed onto her hips on both sides. Valeya wrapped her legs around me as I slid myself about halfway out, waggled my hips, and then slammed back into her. The blonde woman leaned her head back against the massage table as she closed her eyes and opened her mouth, and she let out a long, drawn-out moan. I kept up this rhythm for nearly 5 minutes, since I wanted to build up to a grand finale. My thrusts remained slow and calculated as Valeya and I soaked each other in, and I felt like I was transported to a whole new plane of existence. Right here in this very moment, there was nothing but Valeya and me. No orcs, no other spindrel women, not even the massage table or the ice tub. There was only Valeya and me, combined into one beautiful being.
Ben, oh, I don't want this to end.
Oh, me neither, I moaned, as I pumped into the blonde woman. Oh, I could just keep at this for hours.
Unfortunately, we both knew that wasn't true, but I was going to try my damnedest. After a few more minutes of soft pumps, I focused my attention toward the finish line. I increased my pace to something more intense, and soon the warm coil in my abdomen started to tense up once more. That's when I went in for the kill. I gripped Valeya's waist tightly as I began to thrust in and out of her as hard as I could. The blonde woman's mouth fell agape as her nails dug into my shoulders, and her legs tightened around me so intensely that I thought I might lose some circulation. Valeya let out a few deep moans as she prepared for the finale, and her sounds of ecstasy drove me fucking wild.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think I'm close. Ben! Oh, Ben, I think I'm... Ben!
The spindrel woman's pussy gripped me like a tube of toothpaste as she orgasmed, and her mouth released an eardrum-shattering scream. The sound of her pleasure sent me over the edge a second time. My vision tunneled as my entire body turned to pins and needles, and my muscles tensed to new levels of tightness. My balls felt numb for a split second before they snapped and sent my seed pouring deep into Valeya. Both of us held each other tightly as my manhood filled her womb with my love, and in that moment it felt like the two of us were one. My cock continued to pulsate as it seeped into Valeya, and our sounds of ecstasy mingled together in a chorus of sensual pleasure. Finally, after nearly a minute, I collapsed onto her chest.
Huh. Holy shit.
Oh, that was amazing, Ben.
Valeya whispered, and her voice was in utter disbelief. I pulled myself out of the beautiful hedgehog woman and watched as a bit of my semen oozed out from between her labia. Blood rushed into my manhood once more at the sight.
Huh. You're right about one thing,
I sighed, as I rolled over next to Valeya on the massage table.
That was probably the best relaxation rub I've ever gotten. Tell me, what are my auras saying right now?
They're very satisfied.
Valeya smiled up at the ceiling.
Also very exhausted.
I bet your auras say the exact same thing.
Oh, you wouldn't want to read my auras right now. They're off the charts.
You know, it's kind of funny. We were supposed to come in here to get some much-needed relaxation, but I think I may have just made my muscles even more sore.
I know I am sore. You went really hard, you know?
Hey, you weren't complaining about that a second ago.
I winked and then kissed Valeya's forehead softly.
Do you think I shall bear your child now, Ben?
The spindrel woman suddenly changed the subject.
I have never been a mother before, not even before the virus hit.
Well, I'm pretty sure you will be now. If your body is fertile, I gave you plenty of my seed.
I wonder what our child will look like.
Valeya pondered aloud.
The spindrel have never mated with any other race before.
If I had to guess, I'd say it'll probably be scaly like me, but with a slender nose and face like you guys.
And the hair. I would almost guarantee our kid has spiky hair.
It's the central feature of our species.
Tell me about it.
I whistled and then ran my hand through the woman's spiky golden locks.
I bet if you're not careful, you could take out somebody's eye with those things.
That was their original intention. Long ago, when our species first got started, our hair functioned as a weapon. The legend states that when threatened, the hairs on our head would grow erect and we could stab our enemies with them.
Damn. Maybe these weren't hedgehog women after all. They were starting to sound more like porcupine women.
So, what happened? You definitely could have used that defense against the monoflock.
Our species changed over time.
Valeya shrugged.
Eventually, we developed our own weapons, so the spines became more decorative and less for defense.
You know what they say.
I chuckled as I prepared to tell the dad joke of the year. If you don't use it, you lose it. Valeya gave me an unamused scowl before she slapped my chest playfully and smirked.
Don't make me use my spines on you.
I just raised my hands into the air like I was being held at gunpoint and shook my head.
Oh, don't kill me. If I'm not around, who will give you life-changing orgasms like that?
True.
The hedgehog woman conceded.
I will want to do that again.
Oh, me too. I agreed, as I wrapped my arm around Valea's curvy body. The two of us laid there for a bit and simply enjoyed each other's company, before Valea rolled off the table and stood to her feet. The blonde woman then approached the tub at the center of the room, looked back at me over her shoulder, and beckoned for me to join her.
Come, Dracorex. This is the whole reason I brought you in here in the first place. Both of our muscles are even more sore now, so I would wager stepping into this ice bath will be like having a third orgasm.
Ugh, don't threaten me with a good time, I chuckled, as I stood up and began toward the tub. Oof, my legs were super rubbery, though I wasn't sure if that was from all the hiking we'd done or if it was from the intense sex I just had. Either way, I had to steady myself and walk slowly until I reached the edge of the tub. Once I got there, I sat my bare ass down on the ground, slid my legs over the side, and then submersed myself into the ice-cold water. The shock overtook me in an instant, and I let out a yelp of surprise as my entire body went numb.
Holy shit! I shivered.
What did you expect?
Valea shrugged.
It's an ice bath.
The beautiful naked woman slid over the edge of the tub and shuddered intensely as she went beneath the water. When she popped back up, her pale nipples were hard enough to cut glass, and her golden hair was slicked down against the right side of her head. Even now, two orgasms later, and standing in an ice-cold tub, Valea was hot enough to make my cock harden like a steel pole. After the initial shock was over, the relaxing effects of the ice bath began to take over. The tense, sore muscles in my legs and lower body started to throb less, and soon the discomfort was gone completely. We both remained in the tub for about 10 more minutes before the frigid temperatures became unbearable, so Valea and I hopped out and tossed our clothes back onto our bodies.
Whew, damn,
I grumbled as I shivered intensely.
How the hell do you warm yourself back up when you get out of one of those things?
We have a fire pit, though I can think of some much more fun ways to warm ourselves back up.
What about snuggling? I don't think either of us has the energy to make love again, but we could easily use each other for body warmth.
Acceptable.
The blonde woman smiled. Valea and I returned to the massage table, hoisted ourselves back up onto it, and then held each other close. Soon I felt my eyes getting heavy, and the combination of pure exhaustion and Valea's body heat put me to sleep. The next thing I knew, I woke up to the sound of voices out in the main area of the dwelling.
What's going on?
I asked nobody in particular as I sat up in bed.
I don't know, but it's loud.
Valea grumbled as she rolled over and sighed. Even though I'd been through the ringer these last few days, I felt like $1 million as I stood from the table and stretched. Last night was the best night of sleep I'd gotten in weeks, all thanks to Valea and her little relaxation rub. I fastened my weapons belt to my waist, and then I sauntered out through the door and onto the main platform. As I stepped out, I saw the entire crew was waiting on us.
Oh, the Dracorex emerges?
Mira smirked with her arms crossed over her chest.
Did you sleep well, my king?
Like a fucking baby.
I yawned. Please don't tell me everybody else has been awake for a long time.
Not a real long time, just a few hours.
A few hours? Why didn't anybody come and wake me up?
We figure you needed your rest.
Mira shrugged.
Besides, it's not like we have much to do today. The Spindrel people are all packed and ready to go, so the majority of today should simply be sailing back to the Dragonkin Island.
Valea emerged from the room a few minutes later and was greeted with a similar fanfare. And after the chatter had died down, I decided to address the room. Okay, everyone, I declared as I walked to the front of the group. Today is the big day. We have vanquished many great beasts and have tamed another. And now, we get to go home. The crew responded with whoops and hollers of joy.
Oh, finally.
Morella sighed.
I love this island, but I'm really missing my bed and my siblings right now.
Wow. I'm gonna let Eric know you said that.
Not Eric.
My daughter joked.
I'm really missing all of my siblings, other than Eric.
Well, you won't be missing them for long, I continued as I turned back to the crowd. If we're all good to go, then let's head out. My crew and I swiftly grabbed all of our belongings and then headed for the stairs. It was much easier to go down the damn things than it was to climb them, though many of us were still winded when we arrived at the bottom.
Once we had a chance to catch our breaths, we headed down the tunnel that would lead us back into the fresh air. But as we got to the mouth of the passageway, I noticed the spindrel had stopped. All seven of them remained silent as they stared longingly into their dwelling, with expressions of joy, sadness, and nostalgia plastered across their face.
"We will return,"
Pei whispered to nobody in particular.
"This is not a goodbye."
"No, it's not," I agreed, as I put my hand on her shoulder. "The next time you see this place, your people will be prosperous once more."
"We will be,"
the silver-haired woman smiled.
"That is what makes this goodbye so painless, the prospect of what the future holds for us."
The spindrel gave their dwelling one final glance before they turned around and followed us down the tunnel. And as we came out the other side of the glowing green hedge, we found Bungal, Tyrion, and Saren all waiting for us.
"Oh, good morning to you, fine fellow,"
Bungal declared with a wide grin.
"I hope you found your night as restful as we did out here."
I don't know what you're talking about,"
Saren grumbled as she blinked her eyes slowly.
"We stayed up playing that guessing game until it was practically sunrise."
"Well, it's not my fault you two were so abysmal at it,"
the fat brown dragon scoffed.
"Come, if you had gotten my clues in a more timely fashion, perhaps it wouldn't have lasted so long."
"For the millionth time! Both of us are less than one season cycle old. Saren and I have no idea about anything in this world beyond what we've seen with the Draco Rex."
"All the better. That means I can act as your mentor and teach you all the things a proper dragon should know."
"What exactly do we need to know? We eat, sleep, and kill things with our special dragon breaths. There's not much more to life than that."
"Oh, my word. You are further gone than I originally thought, my good lady. There is so much more to being a dragon. There are entire systems of hierarchies and customs, and even a few bona fide laws to be followed by all dragon kind."
"Laws?"
Tyrion raised a scaly eyebrow.
"Since when are there laws for dragons?"
"Since the beginning of time!"
Bungal clutched his chest tightly.
"We have much to learn, my young apprentices. So much so that I'm not even sure where to begin."
"Maybe you can teach them on the journey home," I announced as we all approached the beasts. "I'm glad to see you all made it through the night."
"You say that as if there was a chance we wouldn't."
Tyrion narrowed his eyes in my direction. "I never doubted you for a minute," I laughed as I shot the silver dragon finger guns. "Now, let's head back to the Dragon Queen so we can get the hell out of here." With that, the crew and I turned toward the shore and wandered off into the forest. We passed through the neon glow of the luminous plants for nearly 2 hours as we ventured toward our ship, until finally the ground beneath us started to transform from dark brown dirt into vibrant granules of sand that reminded me of aquarium rocks. Then we hit the shore, and before us stood our beautiful vessel.
"There she is."
Mira smiled as she put her arm around my shoulder.
"Our second home."
It really was. Even though Mira and I lived on the Dragonkin Island, in the palace with Queen Nerissa and all of our friends, we spent an equal amount of time out at sea. Sure, the other crew members came out on the occasional adventure, but Mira and I had been the only constants since the beginning, mainly because we agreed to be the dynamic duo of captain and first mate, and Mira had agreed to postpone her own pregnancy so she could explore the world by my side. Since then, the two of us had practically lived on our ships, and I'd taken a particular liking to the Dragon Queen.
"Oh, my good sir,"
Bungal's voice suddenly interrupted my navel gazing.
"I don't mean to be a bother, but, how shall I fit onto this strange floating tree?"
Not to be a bother to you, I mused as I looked up at the fat dragon. "But you don't. You're nearly double the size of the freaking boat, so you're going to have to just fly by its side on the journey back."
"Oh, I suppose that is not a problem,"
the thespian-accented dragon sighed.
"Oh, I could certainly use the exercise, and it was my primary mode of transportation before."
"Don't feel too bad,"
Nadir spoke up.
"Most of the other dragons won't be able to ride on the ship eventually either. Tyrion and Swire are both going to get big and powerful like you when they grow up, and they'll have to fly everywhere on their own too. Just picture it. The Dragon Queen pulls up onto the Orc Island with not one, but 3 full-grown dragons at its side. Those ugly green acorn orders wouldn't stand a chance."
"I don't think that'll be the case. At least I kind of hope it's not. I don't want to have to worry about those fucking orcs until the dragons are full grown. I want those bastards taken out sooner rather than later. And the next piece of the puzzle is going to be finding the rest of Tyrion and Bungao's family.
Then we could sail up to the Orc Island with 8 full-grown dragons.
Nadir grinned devilishly.
Ugh, I'm giddy at the very thought.
Ditto. I chuckled, and then I turned to the Spindrel people. What do you think, Pei? Are your people ready to set sail?
Never been on a ship before.
Alvi grunted.
Suppose it might be fun.
There's only one way to find out,
Errol noted.
Let's do it.
With that, my crew boarded the Dragon Queen. And once we were aboard, I took my position behind the wheel, while Mira stood close to me as the first mate. The Kunag women, Theora and Awara, manned the sails, while the rest of the crew got the oh-so-difficult task of handling the anchor. As we were getting ready to set sail, Kaelan wandered over to my position.
What is this?
The hedgehog boy asked as he pointed at the wheel.
It looks important.
It's very important. This is the mechanism that controls the direction of the boat.
Oh, can I get a turn?
The kid's eyes lit up, and for a split second I considered letting him have a go. However, my sense got the better of me. Maybe after you've had some training, I reasoned. The last thing we need is for you to accidentally get us beached or take out the hull with a reef or something like that.
Is it really that hard?
Kaelan questioned, and I just nodded.
Kaelan?
Pei called out from across the ship.
Leave the Draco Rex alone while he's trying to focus.
Saved by the annoyed mother. Kaelan hung his head as he returned to his people, and I prepared for us to set sail.
Hoist the anchor!
I cried out to my crew.
Unfurl the sails! We're headed out to sea!
My friends turned the giant wooden circle at the other end of the boat, and the air was filled with the sound of metal on metal as the anchor was pulled up from the depths. It emerged with a loud splash, followed by the noise of water pouring off the anchor by the gallon. Finally, once that was raised completely, the wind caught our sails. The entire ship lurched forward and we were off. Next stop, home. The Dragon Queen glided effortlessly across the briny blue sea as we ventured back toward the Dragonkin Island. Bungao the Mighty hovered just a few dozen feet above us as we traveled, while all of the Spindrel people stood along the mast of the ship and looked out across the ocean. I remembered being like them once. Back when I was still a novice at sailing, I thought the ocean was something to be feared and reviled, something that was mysterious yet full of wonder. Now, I realized it was just another challenge to be conquered. And I was fully up to the challenge. Suddenly, Nadir's voice broke my concentration.
Ben?
The raven-haired Kunag woman asked.
Do you have a second?
Nadir's voice trembled as she spoke, and the uncharacteristic fear made me worried. Of course, I promised, as I turned to my lover. What's going on?
I think that my water just broke.
Holy shit. It's okay. I tried to stay calm, even though my mind was racing 1,000 miles per minute and my heart threatened to beat through my chest. We've got plenty of people on board who can definitely help us deliver a baby.
That's not all,
Nadir continued, and then she pointed over to Lazan. The Kunag woman with the multicolored hair stood above a small puddle on the deck, and her eyes were wide as she held her belly and looked around desperately for help. Did her water just break too? Nadir nodded, and my heart fell into my stomach. Okay, now was definitely the time to panic.